You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Piper Corp, and this is The Ecologist Goes to Washington, a podcast program from the Ecological Society of America, where I interview scientists who are involved in ecological policy issues. Today I'm interviewing Dr. Jay Gulledge, the Senior Scientist and Program Manager for Science and Impacts at the Pew Center on Global Climate Change. Dr. Gulledge, can you talk a little bit about what your job entails?
It's a really dynamic place to work. It's a policy center, so they call me the science guy. So, you know, climate change, of course, is very interdisciplinary. You know, ecological aspects of climate change impacts is one element, but then there's also, of course, just the basic physical science involved in climate change. And as the science guy at the Pew Center, I really have to cover the gamut. So one big distinction or difference in working there compared to I was 15 years in academe. Big difference is that you really have to be a generalist when you work at a place like the Pew Center. And I think that that would be the case at pretty much any policy-oriented advocacy or think tank organization. So I do everything from explaining basic science to the staff within the Pew Center to going to the Hill and holding briefings on any of various aspects of the science of climate change, to writing blog posts about what the current, you know, science of climate change and its impacts is saying that would be relevant to action to resolve climate change, and then to talking to people in the business community or congressional staffers about why the latest contrarian claims don't actually derail the whole issue of climate change. So it's a wide gamut.
And since you transitioned from academia into, you know, working for an advocacy organization, have you found that certain opportunities to influence the discussion on climate change have become available, and have certain doors closed?
I have to say that when I was in academia, I never talked to a policymaker or a person in the business community. I had a very straight, standard academic situation where I just focused on my soil biology research and taught my classes. So it's a night and day difference in terms of working with having any kind of influence on people in the policy community, business community. And I keep saying the business community because the Pew Center on Global Climate Change has, from its inception in 1998, worked with progressive elements in the business community to design policy solutions to climate change that will take advantage of the capabilities of the business world to solve the problem. So it's been interesting to have the opportunity to work with that crowd. And as far as doors opening, yes, compared to being in academe, I didn't even know about any doors to speak of. Many doors were shown to me and opened to me. As far as doors being closed, there are precious few that are closed. At least where I sit, the Pew Center is viewed as a very centrist organization, and so we work very well with a wide range of businesses and business leaders and a wide range of politicians and policymakers and regulators. There are some doors closed to us, but they're really on the fringe. The very most conservative and in some cases the very most liberal of the political spectrum view us as not representing their interests, but those are the ones that are on the fringe either way.
So how did you decide then, since you hadn't been doing any political work previously, how did you decide to make the switch to Washington?
It was a complex process that took a long time. There were a combination of circumstances. Going back as far as grad school, which, you know, I was in grad school forever, as many academics, you know, are. But as far back as grad school, I'd say at least back to the early 90s. I finished grad school in 96. I was somewhat bothered by what seemed to me to be an insularity in the academic community, sort of, you know, what people often call the ivory tower syndrome. I was never keen on that. So there was that seed was always there. Now, there were many things I loved about the academic culture and environment, so there were things I liked as well. And then, I had a couple of faculty positions, and at one point, you know, life changes often involve some personal change in your life. And I had a divorce. I do not have kids. And so it sort of prompted me to think about whether there was something else I might want to do. And I decided, you know, I didn't jump quickly, but I decided that, you know, if something really interesting were to come along outside of academia, I would consider it. I did not scour the job ads, but a friend of mine sent me the position posting for the Pew Center position, and I thought that was really interesting. I had heard Eileen Clausen, the president of the Pew Center, on NPR a few times, so I was vaguely aware of what that organization was about and decided to go for it, and they hired me, and that was 4.5 years ago.
Wow, so it was pretty serendipitous kind of how.
Yeah, it really was, huh. Yeah.
So at the annual meeting last year, at ESA's annual meeting, you spoke at the symposium on communicating uncertainty to policymakers. And one of the things that you said that I think may have come as a surprise to people who weren't frequently on the Hill was that you would become less cynical since you came to Washington. So can you just elaborate on that process?
Yeah, I mean, this has been a very rewarding experience working in Washington, and one reason for that has been I had a view, well, let's see, at the time that I decided to think about coming to Washington, we were, you know, toward the end of the first Bush administration, or maybe it was the beginning of the second one. And there had been several years of attempts in government to suppress science, you know, in areas that I knew something about. I mean, I think it has always happened, but when climate change and environmental change became a hot topic beyond the scientific community, then the suppression of scientific information, you know, came into a field that I was familiar with. And so it became more keen to me. And so I was aware of all of the BS that goes on in Washington with regard to science, and I was pretty cynical about it. So one of my motivations that I didn't mention earlier was that I thought, you know, I could apply my basic understanding of science to the defense of science. And I work at an advocacy organization that advocates for policies on climate change, but really my main interest in what I am able to do there is defend science. And so I came here with the cynicism about, you know, there's no respect for science in Washington. You know, either side will just use it to their own benefit, which is true. All of that was true. But what I found when I came to Washington was that for, you know, every bad actor here, there's at least one and maybe more really good actors that are working, you know, in the defense of science in a few cases, other people like me, or just in defense of good policy, you know, against the use of politics to protect special interests. And, you know, that has bolstered my faith in, frankly, in our form of democracy, because I have a much better understanding of what democracy actually is and the role of politics in democracy and the role of advocacy in citizenship.
So, in general, when scientists get involved with policy, they deal with this question of, you know, how much can you push for something without risking your own credibility and not appearing to have an agenda. As an advocate for science, how do you maintain your credibility?
Well, part of it, and I think I have been able to do that, at least within, well, I think both within the scientific community and within the policy community. You know, I said before that there's a fringe on either end that just has an ideological view that is not going to extend credibility to someone at the, you know, the Pew Center or any place that doesn't walk in lockstep with them. But beyond that, you know, in the mainstream, it's not my role at the Pew Center to advocate for our policy positions. That we have a very knowledgeable and relatively large staff who do that. And that's not my role. So I'm not in a position of going to the Hill or to other audiences and saying, what we have to do is enact a cap-and-trade program. You know, when I'm asked what the Pew Center's goal is, I say that's the Pew Center's goal. But it's not my role to advocate for that. My role is to establish what we know about the science, to defend that knowledge against political attacks that are not scientifically grounded. But my activities are not rooted in the Pew Center's policy positions, so I'm just not in a position of pushing those policies.
That was Jay Gullidge from the Pew Center on Global Climate Change. Thanks so much for listening, and please join us next time on The Ecologist Goes to Washington.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.